Welcome to the Pastor and Intern Podcast. My name is Eric Dyer. I am the pastor, and I'm with Will Emery, the intern. Will, how are you doing?
I'm good.
You doing good this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
What I love about coming into work is when Will goes, hey, this is what we're talking about today.
I have no idea.
Yeah, so it's great. We are the most professional podcast on the internet.
We really are. I mean, we take a lot of time into our episodes.
So this is the start of season two.
It is start of season two. So you probably clicked on the episode and you heard some new music.
Yeah,
if you didn't
I really liked it. I liked it. And I don't really care if anybody else likes it.
That's all that matters. As long as you like it, it doesn't matter if our listeners or anybody else.
So what
likes
are we talking about in season
so,
two?
So, in season two
as
a whole.
Yeah, season two as a whole.
So we're talking about different things, different topics. We're addressing the topic of terrorism.
Ooh.
Terrorism. I promise I'll learn how to say it better when we get
you
there.
You know, one of these days we'll learn how to talk.
Right. Learn how to pronunciate things. So we're talking about that. We're talking about homosexuality.
Ooh.
For a whole episode.
That
should be fun.
We're doing some interviews, right?
We are. So we have JT English, who's from The Village. So he's going to talk to us about Christian education.
Okay.
We've got Jen Smith, which some people should know.
Yeah.
In the church.
There's people in our church who did her Bible study on being hospitable, things like that.
Right. We've got just some guy named Malcolm Yarnell.
Oh, my gosh. And I know that, you know, probably nobody knows who that is.
No.
Besides, like, me and Will and Bear, who's on staff with us. But, like, you just don't even know, like, how impactful he was on my own theology and my own view of God and stuff like that. So, I'm super excited about
that.
He
still teaches theology. And
he does. He's got a degree from Oxford, so he's smarter than most people I know combined.
Really smart guy. Yep. So, he's one of the guys who wrote a section in that big green book.
Yeah, that we talked about.
A millennium ago, it felt like. So we have him. Who else do we have? We have somebody else. Oh, Dr. Jamie Dude.
How can we forget that?
The new president at New Orleans.
He might be the most famous out of all of them.
Probably. He's probably the most well-known at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully a few more. I've got one that I'm thinking of on the top of my head that we may have.
Just stay tuned.
But I can't.
Stay tuned. We'll get it. We'll get it. So
what are we talking about today? So today we're talking about secular music, okay? So define for us, what is secular music? When I say that, what do I mean?
So it's anything that's not Christian music. How do you like that definition?
That's a great definition.
So I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in youth group and we were talking beforehand, I was talking to Bear about this, but he was talking about how there was always that one youth service a year almost where the youth pastor would get up and tell you how terrible you are if you listen to, you know, Katy Perry or whatever you're into.
Right.
And I remember those, and I remember thinking, you know, I kind of feel bad, but, like, I'm still going to do it. You know, like, I always felt like that. And the older that I've gotten, the more that I realize that, you know, it's not necessarily a sin to listen to secular music. And I think that's something that we'll dive into later. But it's not as if secular music, just because it doesn't mention Jesus or the things of God, that it's evil.
Right. So the idea of secular music as a whole is not a sin.
Right. Because, I mean, if we're saying that if it doesn't mention God, it's evil, then Esther's evil.
About a lot of things.
So,
yeah.
Because God's not mentioned in Esther. So, and I would say Esther's way more important than some piddly song or whatever. But you know what I mean, right?
Like
it's not a sin. No.
Right. So you would say that. So have you listened to more secular music or Christian music through your life?
Secular, for sure.
Secular music. Yeah. So, because I feel like there's those people who, oh, yeah, I grew up in church, and I've always listened to Chris Tomlin. And
yeah, they're like, you listen to who?
All the time.
And they look down on you.
Yeah, right. Very judgmental. Very.
I hate
so
it.
So you weren't that way. Always listened to
secular music. I grew up listening to the Beatles and Elvis and the Rolling Stones and the Monkees, things like that. And
the Monkees. Yeah, I've never heard of the Monkees.
Yeah, they were a fake band, which they made a TV show about.
A fake band.
we're going to get into that. They're on this list I have over here. But I grew up listening to that, and I also grew up listening to some Christian music, which we've talked about before.
Yes, we have.
I went to length talking about. But anyway, that's definitely. What about you? Have you listened to more Christian or more secular?
Oh, goodness. Probably.
Be honest, Jesus is listening to you right now.
Probably both. I'm a big fan of secular music, which sounds weird, but I don't know. I don't have a problem with most Christian music, but I don't know. I enjoy, for example, so a lot of these like dance songs, so you have like, Old Town Road or whatever that, the one we heard
Charlotte
Friday
really
night.
Enjoys Old Town Road.
Yeah. I just want to make
I want to make the world know, though, that I did not introduce her to Old Town Road.
You didn't introduce her to that?
No, that was not me.
So, but I don't know. I like that upbeat, and a lot of Christian songs aren't that. They're very...
They're missing something, it feels like.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times they're so busy. They're so busy with the lyrics, you know, you're broken and you need, which are fine. I mean, that's good stuff, I guess, but I like... A beat. I like the slow stuff as well, but
yeah.
Now I know somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, oh, well, you don't listen to...
You listen to what I listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or about, like, Christian rap, right? You have those people who are like, oh, well,
yeah,
I can listen. Okay, well, that's a good topic. So let's talk about that for a second. How do you feel about rap music? Give us your rundown. Have you been a big fan of rap music ever? Because this would all fall under the secular music category, right? Because anything that's not Christian music is secular. So we're talking about rock, rap.
Okay, so you're not talking about Christian rap. You're talking
both.
About...
I mean, have you been a big fan of Christian rap?
I'm a pretty big fan.
Okay.
Now, not all of it. Right. Preface that, but most of it. I really like it. Because it's more spoken wordish than regular songs. And what I mean by that is it's more like poetry than it is straight songs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they talk about it. Like, they talk about what they've been through and how Jesus relates to that. And I know a lot of people, like, that's a huge turnoff for them when they hear rap music come on. They're like, oh, here we go. The nonsense. The hoodlums are coming out. You know? And I think that's a little unfair because, you know, Christianity was a little late to the rap game. But
whatever.
But in my early 20s, which I'm almost 30 now, in my early 20s, that was my favorite genre.
Was Christian rap?
It was Christian rap. No.
Have you ever listened to just rap music?
Well, yeah. And it's okay. And there's some songs that are all right. But to me, I just don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, well, and my dad, so my dad's listening to this, shout out to you, but my dad always, he would tell me that, you know, listening to rap music, his biggest problem with rap music today, at least this was then, was that the rap music, it feels like it had no point, which is why I would say that I lean, obviously, way more closer to Christian rap. I do enjoy that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it feels like I'm learning something, or it's an actual song, right? Because I think music moves you in some way.
It
right?
does. It makes you have some sort of emotional
right.
response.
And when I'm listening to a song, or I'm going to memorize, I'm going to learn a song because I like it or whatever, I'm learning or listening to something other than just repeating words over and over. And I feel like rap music today, some of it, now again, I'm saying this really out of ignorance because I don't listen to any rap music, but
sure,
some of the rap music I feel like is very repetitive, or it's about things that don't matter, or it's about some other things or whatever. Yeah. And a lot of it, like, I think back to Eminem, and I feel like a lot of his songs have a, regardless of how you feel about Eminem or his music, but they have a lot of meanings behind them. Or
it doesn't feel like writing, he's made up a song.
Right. He's writing these songs out of his experience.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so I think that's a good way to distinguish.
Eminem on a Christian podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
That was good. That was good right there.
Yeah. So I know I'm going to get...
Will's into name dropping, by the
crucified
way.
Crucified at the... surprise we haven't got copyrighted yet. We'll see.
Anyway, we'll see.
Okay, so secular music, Christian music. How do you want to break? Do you want to talk first about whether secular music, how we need to distinguish if it's good or bad, we listen to it? Or do you want to tell everyone your favorite songs?
Okay, I want to go through some music first.
Okay, so you want to do that first.
Yeah, right. So I did some minor research here, and I've got three songs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I'm going to read them off wheel, and I want you to pick out which one I should read the lyrics of. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, okay, so we're going with the 60s here. Okay. The first song is I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a Believer by the Monkees, which you've never heard of. And I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles.
Now, is I'm a Believer the one, isn't it like on Shrek or something?
Yes.
I'm a Believer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, what was the third one?
I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles.
By the Beatles. I've never been a big Beatles. I've never really listened to their music. So you want me to pick one that
yeah,
we need
pick
to?
Pick one of those, yeah.
Okay, let's do the I'm a Believer by the Monkees.
I'm a Believer. Okay.
So tell us about the Monkees. You were started.
Okay,
to tell
so
us
so what's hilarious is I grew up thinking that the Monkees were an actual band, and they're not. They're not a band at all.
They're not a band.
No, but they're it's a TV show about a band. So
okay.
when the Beatles were really big, these people got this idea that they should make a TV show based on a band that's like the Beatles. Like, they look like the Beatles. Their hairstyles are like the Beatles. And it's a really hilarious show. I grew up watching it because my dad watched it. And so he's like, hey, you should watch this, you know. And I thought it was hilarious, even though it's really, it's pretty dumb. But, okay, I'm a believer. Here we go.
It's like the Naked Brother Band. Have you ever heard that? Have you seen that on Nickelodeon? The Naked Brother Band?
No.
That does not sound as terrible. It's not. It's like a kid's show, but
that is so weird.
I promise. Look it up. Everybody's listening, look it up. It's on Nickelodeon.
Okay, here we go. I'm just going to read the lyrics. I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else, but not for me. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face, and I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a giving thing. Seems more like I gave the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I need sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. So how do you react to that song?
That's it. That's all the lyrics.
That is literally the lyrics.
I don't know. All I really remember is Shrek. I couldn't even tell you where it is in Shrek, but...
Right. But lyrically, like, what do you think about that?
I mean, it's, you know...
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it feels like they have kind of a sick version of love.
But does it really tell you a story through the song?
Not really.
I mean, it's very,
It's not great. Okay. No. Here's the next three, okay? Those were the 60s, okay?
So we got another three.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got nine total, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Queen by Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Queen by Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody backwards. That's what I get for writing them backwards.
Oh.
Queen, who wrote Bohemian Rhapsody.
I didn't even catch you on it.
Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, or ABBA, Dancing Queen.
Oh, give us some Dancing Queen. Has anybody seen Mamma Mia?
Dancing Queen.
Because that is a
You
good
really
movie.
Like that movie?
I did really like that movie.
I don't.
That was a pretty good movie. But they sing Dancing Queen because they sing all of ABBA's songs. What is it? ABBA?
Dance.
ABBA?
I think it's ABBA.
ABBA. They sing
ABBA
all
sounds really redneck.
ABBA songs. That's
and I know somebody's listening going, it's ABBA. So, okay. Anyway, here we go. You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. See that girl, watch that scene, digging the Dancing Queen. Friday night and the lights are low, looking out for place to go, where they play the right music, getting in the swing. You come to look for a king. Okay. And this is Tanya singing, by the way. Anybody could be that guy, night is young and the music's high. With a bit of rock music, everything is fine. You're in a mood for a dance. And when you get the dance, and this is all of them. You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17. Dancing queen, feel the beat from the tambourine. I didn't even know that was in there. You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. See that girl, watch that dance, digging the dancing queen. You're a teaser, you turn them on, leave them burning, and then you're gone. Wow. That's kind of rough. Looking out for another, anyone will do. You're in the mood for a dance, and when you get the dance... You're a dancing queen, blah, 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 blah.
So the same thing over
and over. Same thing over and over. So how do you react to that?
They were very, I don't know, because this was, what was this, the 80s?
70s.
70s.
Oh, it was released in 1976.
1976. I mean, it was catchy in Mamma Mia. That's all I know from this
song.
Gosh,
Will, for someone who loves music, you're really letting me down here.
Oh, okay. It was, I mean, I like the lyrics are good. It's very... I just don't know anything about the time. I mean, I guess this was, I don't know. You're picking really old music. I don't.
Yeah, but I'm literally reading you the lyrics.
I know. Is this good for the time? Was this song successful then?
These are like the top songs.
So these are the top.
Yeah, I'm not picking like randos. Like I'm picking like.
Do you think if this song was remade now, it would be the top song?
That's just so hard to say. Because music is so different now. Yeah, I don't
Which
know.
Is, yeah, exactly.
I think it would still be a good song, but I just think it's...
Oh, it's a, I mean, it's a good
like,
song.
I couldn't name I one more song. ABBA song ever. So, but again, I'm 29. All right, I got three more for you, okay?
All right, hit me.
Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
Or Like a Virgin from Madonna. Got 80s music.
Let's do Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer? Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. All right, here we go. By Bon Jovi. Once upon a time, not so long ago, Tommy used to work on the docks. Union's been on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough, so tough. Gina works the diner all day working for her man. She brings home her pay for love, for love. She says, we've got to hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we like it or not. We when we've got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Whoa, we're halfway there. I don't know that I've ever said that like that.
Whoa,
living on a prayer, take my hand, we'll make it, I swear. Whoa, living on a prayer. Tommy's got his six string and hawk. I don't know what hawk
does that
means.
Mean?
I have no idea. Now he's holding in what he's
That's
used
scary.
To make it talk. So tough, it's tough. Gina dreams of running away. When she cries in the night, Tommy whispers, baby, it's okay someday. This song is really depressing. We've got to hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we like it or not. Living on a prayer, that whole thing. We've got to hold on, ready or not, to live for the fight when it's all you've got. And then it goes, we're living on a prayer.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more familiar with this one.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is very popular. Bon Jovi's very popular.
Right.
So Tommy's like selling his guitar. So got his six string, his guitar, and hawk. Means like he's selling it to the pawn shop, apparently.
Okay, yeah.
So I guess it's like a song about him and Gina, maybe?
I guess. So those are really the popular songs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
So are you just a big fan of this? Because you weren't alive then. Well, you were alive when in the 80s?
No, 90s.
No, 90s. 90 okay, so you
on
don't,
the dot.
So you weren't... So you just like the old music?
I do. And I have a feeling that a lot of our listeners are older-ish. They listen to the 70s and 80s music. Maybe not the 60s, but... At least the 70s and the 80s. So I thought I would pull those out. And okay. They're not terrible songs.
No, they're
I
not.
I mean, as far as like morally speaking, they're not terrible.
No.
Now, they have an awful skewed way of what love actually is and, you know.
Right. So what you're saying is that you don't necessarily support everything these songs
Exactly.
Right, you're not.
I think you listen to a song and definitely be like, yeah, I don't endorse everything that happens in this song.
Right. So.
Because, I mean, you listen to Eminem, right? So
no, yeah. I did not.
I mean, you brought it up.
I mean, no comment. No comment.
Okay.
So I have some. So would that be your favorite? Or I mean, what's your favorite? So that's not even your favorite.
These are just. I just looked up the hits.
Okay. So what's your favorite then?
Okay. So I've got a couple favorites. Every time I hear it, I've got to listen to it.
Are they on like different time frames? Yeah, one of the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, the first two are more 50s, 60s, 70s. Like, I don't know the exact year, because Elvis is in one of these, so he's pretty old. And then I have a kind of a shocker for you at the end. Okay.
Okay.
So, I've got three. All right. So, Suspicious Minds by Elvis. Have you ever heard that?
I've never heard it.
I'm Suspicious Minds. Oh, my gosh. And mainly, it's one of my favorite songs, because it was one of my grandmother's favorite songs. So, I thought, okay, well, I want to see what this song's all about. And ever since I've heard it, I've loved it. And it always makes me think of her or whatever. So,
okay.
Elvis didn't write any of his songs, but this is a pretty good song. The next song that I really like is Sgt. Pepper's by the Beatles. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
No, I've never heard it either.
Man, Will, you need some culture.
I really do.
But that is awesome. And it was a time in the Beatles' life where they were wearing these really weird outfits. Like, they were wearing these, like, military British-looking outfits, but they were, like, pink and bullet, like, this really sharp blue and green and that type thing.
Interesting.
It's hilarious. It was. I think it was right before they like all grew their hair out and became hippies. Anyway, all right. This one's gonna floor you, okay? Because this is not my genre.
Okay.
I do not like country music.
Is it gonna be Take Me Home?
No. No. Only on Friday night. No. It's Mercy by Brett Young.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I knew that.
Yeah.
You've
I told
that
you that before. I literally was flipping through stations 6 or 8 months ago, and I remember just listening to it, and I about cried. I don't really know why, but I listened to it, and I was like, this is getting me right in the heart, you know.
Dang, country music will do that to you.
But it's the only country song that I like, so there you go.
You like others. I mean, it's just not
okay,
your,
like what?
It's not your favorite. You like that Take Me Home Country Road song.
Only on Friday nights. If I hear it on the radio, I'm turning it.
Getting it off of there.
I'm not a huge country fan at all.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. I mean, that's understandable. Yeah. You either like it or you don't.
No, exactly.
Right.
But so what are your favorite songs?
So, okay, so I only got one because I'm a normal human being. Am I
I'm not a huge music fan. I think that's my problem.
You really aren't,
I'm
which is
huge...
funny how you have three favorites.
Yeah, I have
not.
Three songs that I generally like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have one that came to mind, and so it's by Journey, Don't Stop Believin'.
Don't stop.
And I think the reason it's my favorite is because I just have really fond memories of singing it with my grandmother probably when I was about oh goodness, 8, 9, 10 maybe.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's one of those that you always sing through.
Well, and this is gonna sound horrible, okay? But I used to watch this show that's no longer airing because it got really terrible, but this show called Glee. Have you ever watched
Yes,
it?
Glee, yeah.
That was like the staple song.
Was it?
Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, but they sang Don't Stop Believing in the show, and they did a fantastic job.
I think you have. We
like
have
to me, it's right up there with the original.
With the original,
like, it's
one.
So good. It's so well done. Yeah. But anyway, but so that's
watched,
a good song.
You watched Glee?
I did. I watched all of it. And the last three seasons
really?
Are terrible. Yeah.
Oh.
It's terrible. The first two seasons aren't bad. The main actor in real life committed suicide. This really horrible thing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Kind of ruined the show. But the show was already ruined, kind of. Anyway.
Okay.
So anyway.
All right. So is secular music bad? So we talked about how obviously our opinion is probably not, right?
No, it's not. It's not. Anyone who says it is really trying to make a demon out of it. And it's really not.
Right. So I think you have to make two distinctives, right? I think you have to say, or two parts. So I think the first part is secular music as a whole is not.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
The entirety of, there's not every single secular song is not terrible.
Right.
But I do think there are those ones that are in there that you probably should stray away from, right?
Sure.
So if I'm listening to a secular song, what are some things I need to be looking for or listening to or listening for? And I need to be like, hey, I probably need to change this.
I think there's a couple things we need to think about. I think the first is most secular songs are trying to tell you something about your culture. Okay? They're trying to tell you something about your worldview. So whenever you're listening to a song, it's telling you about what love looks like, or what friendship looks like, or what marriage looks like, or what using substances is like. You know, it kind of gives you this false presentation of everything. So, you know, we were thinking about, you know, Living on a Prayer. Like, it's about this couple who's having a really hard time, and they're literally living on the prayer that things are going to get better. And that's not necessarily a fact. Like, just because things are hard doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get better. Does that make sense?
Right.
So every song is teaching you something. And even when it comes to the worst of the worst, like songs that are just full of depravity and slur words and violence, you know, things like that. But I think we've just got to watch it. Because I don't want to say this artist and this artist and this artist you should stay away from. I'm not going to do that. Because that's you're just isolating people at that point. Like, I'm not going to do that. But at the same time, you've got to like, most people are smart enough to be thinking about their music while they're listening to it, right?
Yeah.
There's few and far between the people that can't do that. It's just that we don't. Because when we're listening to music, we're either doing something like our homework, and it's just playing in the background. And I think we've got to be weary of that. Because when we're doing that, we're letting those words subconsciously affect our life. And then you might end up saying something in public that may or may not be what you really think. Or you may say something really stupid in a certain situation or to your parents or whatever. And they'll look at you and be like, where did that come from? And you go, I really don't know. Well, it might be traced back to what you're consuming. Especially what you're consuming subconsciously. Because a lot of us, I don't, but a lot of us put music on in our ears or on our computer while we're working and just listen to hours and hours and hours of music. And honestly, we couldn't tell you five songs
what
that we just listened to
yeah.
Right? And I think it's important to get some sort of biblical perspective because Jesus is talking about how, you know, defilement isn't what comes from the outside, but it comes from the inside. And he says, and this is Matthew 15:18. But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a person. And I think that's really important for us to realize, is that whatever's coming out of our mouth, more often than not, is what's in our heart. And a lot of that can be shaped by music, what you read, what you watch on TV or Netflix. It's kind of an all-encompassing thing. And I think music, because most of us don't play movies in the background while we do our homework. Right? Because it's a physical distraction. Like, you can see people doing whatever or you know, whatever Disney movie you're watching or whatever. But music is so subconscious. It's just penetrating your subconsciousness over and over and over again, and you don't even know it. And then you might end up saying something, or your worldview on something might start to change because of what you're listening to. So I don't think secular music is bad, but I think that if we're not careful, if we've not got a good diet of secular music and Christian music, then we can really get off base.
Right. So what are those like explicit things that you would say, hey, you need to stay away from these in music? Like, what's something for, if you hear a song,
yeah,
what's something that's going to deter you away from
if it? I'm listening to a song and I hear the same profanity used more than once, I quit listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a personal thing, because one, it shows that the vocabulary that the person is using isn't great, you know? Like, one, it's creatively dumb, and two, it's dumb. If you're using a word as a noun, verb, adjective, adverb, you know, direct object, like, if that's what you're doing, then, like, you need to open a dictionary, like, good heavens. But at the same time, that profane language is not good for you, because the more you're around it, the more likely you're going to say
it. It's going to come out of you.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's the first thing I would watch out for. The second thing I would watch out for is the way that artists talk about sex. I would also watch out for that, because they make it sound like it's something that it's not, something that is recreational, something that is that it's my body, I can do whatever with it as I want to. That would be the second thing. The third thing would be any sort of clear push on worldview. Like if the artist is saying you're dumb because you think this way, or you think this way, but you really need to think this way. Or you need to stop saying this and start saying this. Those are probably the top three.
Okay,
for me.
Well, let's talk about that third one.
Okay.
Okay. So the third one was anything changes your worldview or anything like that. So
yeah.
The biggest artist right now, arguably, is probably Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Right? And you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I know.
So she's just released a new album called Lover or Love or something to that effect.
Sure.
But before that, she's released this song called You Need to Calm Down, which we've talked about here.
You need to calm down.
Right. And here, let me just read some of the lyrics if you haven't heard it before. So this is how she starts off. You are somebody that I don't know, but you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, dang. It's 7
that was the edited
that's
version.
That's the PG version.
Okay, good.
Say it in the street, that's a knockout, but you say it in a tweet, that's a cop-out, and I'm just like, hey, are you okay?
Which is a mockery.
Yeah.
He's making a mockery of it.
And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun. And snakes and stones never broke my bones.
So, uh-oh.
Yeah. It's really hard to talk.
You're on the verge of laughter because it's so ridiculous.
It's hard. So her chorus is, she says, uh-oh, and it keeps going up. And she says, you need to calm down. You're being too loud. You need to just stop. Like, can you just not step on my gown? You need to calm down. So I think this second verse is the biggest part, right? She says, you are somebody that we don't know, but you're coming at my friends like a missile. Why are you mad when you could be glad? Sunshine on the street at the parade, but you would rather be in the dark age. Just making that sign must have taken all night. You just need to take several seats and then try to restore the peace and control your urges to scream about all the people you hate. And right here, this is probably the key. Her whole song, this is like the thesis of her whole song right here. Because shade never made anybody less gay.
Yeah.
So, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so... Okay, so this is a big song right now. It's a big deal. Everybody's listening. She just sang it last night.
It's a catchy song.
At the VMAs. It really is. And we've had that conversation before, is when you're listening to it, I mean, it's something you want to hear and you kind of want to sing. I mean, it's really catchy.
Yeah.
But should we be doing that? Should we be singing it? I mean, is this enough to turn your worldview? I mean, you know, she's...
You know, most songs aren't as explicitly going after certain worldviews, but this is pretty clearly... that.
Right.
So music has an issue itself, like the song, because there's no images attached to the song, right? Like, you have to come up with your own images for the song. I feel like we do that with everything. Whether we're listening to a song, reading a book, we put faces to names. Or at least that's what I do to help me learn what's happening. And so, you know, she put out a music video. So that's why they do music videos, because they're trying to portray to you what this song is actually about if you could not get it from the lyrics. And you could get it from the lyrics from Taylor Swift, but it's even pushed farther in the video, okay? And it's probably got millions and millions and millions and millions of views.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, I would... It's hard for me to say don't listen to it because, A, I feel like it's an educational thing for people to listen to it. You need to listen to it at least once or twice just so you can understand where Taylor Swift is coming from. Like, Taylor Swift, she's just continually writing music that tries to shape what you think about the world. And so... And she's singing it in such a way, and again, Will read the lyrics, but he can't do it like Taylor Swift can, neither can I. And she is very, very much pushing in on, hey, this is normal. Like, viewing anything to do with the LGBTQ movement is okay, and it's normal. So why are you fighting against normal? It's almost as if she's like... Eating is normal. You shouldn't hate on eating.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same type of logic. Well, LGBTQIA+, whatever you want to say, is normal. So you should quit screaming in people's faces about it. Now, I think that her song has a hidden meaning for us Christians. I think we need to realize that we need to stop hating people and screaming in people's faces. I'm with her on that. But that's about where we end on our agreement. I think that she definitely is trying to push in on your worldview. And what I mean by that is how you look at society, the world.
Yeah.
Because she's saying being gay is okay, you know. If you're a man who thinks he's a woman, that's okay. And we should all accept that. We should quit saying that that's not true. And I think it's true. If you hide behind your Twitter account with all your opinions, then you're kind of a coward. But if you're actually out there trying to do change in the world, that's different. And I think she would give you credit for that. But anyway, but I don't know that we should not listen to it. I don't know that we should listen to it on repeat. I can tell you that. Like
over and over.
I wouldn't listen to it 20 times in a row.
Right.
Because one, I don't think it's that good of a song. And two, it's definitely going to change your worldview. You know, because most of the people in the world would probably agree that this is fine.
I mean, is this like the first, and you'll know this better than I will, but is this like the first explicit song advocating for?
Explicitly? Yeah, probably.
I mean, in the way that she's, I mean, she is calling out Christians. She is, I mean, this is.
Well,
very,
and again, if you watch the video, it's about Christians who are white, who are wearing the American flag on their shirt, they're rednecks, they're old. That's the people that she's talking about.
Right.
Clearly. So, you know. I think this is the first song where it's explicitly what
push
the issue is. Then there's other songs where it's obviously been mentioned or this is what the song's about, but never as explicit as this.
Right. Well, okay. So her that video has 122 million people who have seen it.
Sounds about right.
So many, many, many. And she just won the video of the year, I think, with that video.
Did she? That's hilarious.
At VMAs. And so.
I think it's a pretty crummy video, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's not great. Well, and I mean, would this have been something that would have been this popular 10 years ago? I mean, if she would have created this song then, would it still have been?
No, she wouldn't have done it.
No, I mean, it's just kind of how our culture has
shifted
around.
Yeah.
That now it's this really big deal, right?
Well, it's like, you know, what people are saying is normal is okay to them. But what you think is normal on your own is unacceptable. The culture is pushing in on what you think is normal and telling you you're wrong and you should be conformed to what we think is normal.
Right.
And it's about everything. It's not just about LGBTQ. It's about marriage. It's about everything.
Right.
It's about the whole thing. So.
Yeah. So we would say that secular music isn't terrible.
No.
Not as a whole. It's not a sin to listen to secular
evil,
music.
No.
No, you just need to watch out what you're listening to. It's the same thing with Christian music. You just need to.
But it's like anything. It's like
be aware.
It's like your consumption of it. How much are you consuming? You know?
Right.
Like, it's just like food. If you consume too much food, you'll die. Like, that's just the reality. You consume too much water, you'll die. If you consume too much of this, it will end up killing parts of you that God wants you to have. These moral standards that God
right.
has instituted. And not only instituted, but who He is. As God, so, but yeah, I don't think it's bad. But I think if that's all you consume, you're probably not doing what you should be doing.
Yeah. So. And Christian music isn't terrible.
No, it's not terrible.
We've
feel like
talked
I hate
about
on it all the time, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. So, beginning of season 2, that's the first episode.
Yeah.
good stuff.
I think we've got off to a good start.
I think we did too. So if you can, go check out social media, Instagram, Twitter, things like that. Hoping to get some new content out to you guys. And next week, we'll be talking about Rosaria Butterfield's Openness Unhindered.
Yep. That's a good book.
So that'll be it. Thanks for listening to the Pastor and Intern Podcast.